We're looking in Genesis chapter 22 this morning. Chapter 22 of Genesis is where God tests Abraham. God does not tempt Abraham to sin, and He doesn't tempt you and I to sin, but He does test us. And in Genesis 22 and verse 7 it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" God had asked Abraham to take his only begotten son and to offer him on a mountain that he would show him. Now all of this just didn't happen as a happenstance. The chain of events that we find in the Old Testament are actually pictures of what happened in the New Testament. Last Sunday we looked at the allegory of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was part of the seed of Abraham. And Ishmael was a son that Abraham loved. Yet when you get into Genesis 22, we find Isaac is Abraham's only begotten son. And that's just not just put there because the Holy Spirit made a mistake, or Moses made a mistake when he penned Genesis. It was there to show that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Abraham is a picture of God, or a type of God the Father. But we see in Genesis chapter 21, where in verse 9, where Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was born unto Abraham, mocking. Mocking whom? Mocking Isaac. Isaac is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ishmael is a type and a picture of the nation of Israel. Hagar and Ishmael speaks of the law, which we talked about last Sunday. And we know that Ishmael mocked Isaac, just like the nation of Israel did to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27 and verse 41 it says, "Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him, and with the scribes and the elders." So we find that the leaders of the nation of Israel were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. They were accusing him of everything in the book. He says, "You're doing these works with the power of the devil." And so we find that the nation of Israel was rejected in the New Testament, just like Ishmael and Hagar was rejected in the Old Testament. In Genesis 21:10 it says, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham," that is Sarah, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." In Matthew chapter 21, in verses 42 and 43, we see Jesus saying unto them, that is, to the nation of Israel, to the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of that nation, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Just as Israel was rejected for the blessings of the kingdom of the heavens in the New Testament, we find that Ishmael was rejected as far as the inheritance was concerned in the Old Testament. Another thing that we can observe too is Jesus Christ is not our Ishmael is a type of, excuse me, Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do not see Isaac being crucified in type or in picture in the 22nd chapter of Genesis until or before Ishmael and Hagar were rejected. It fits together. In fact, we do not find Isaac or Abraham looking for a bride for Isaac until after he is crucified on Mount Moriah. By the way, Mount Moriah is where the temple was built in that area. That's where Solomon built the temple, was in the mountains of Mount Moriah. I think there's a larger area there. But anyway, these things fit together in the Old Testament, and they are seen plainly in the New Testament. So Abraham is tested. And I read in Genesis 21 and verse 1 where it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abram, and he said, Behold, here I am." I think it's important for us to be listening and in tune with the Lord at all times. And Abraham was learning how to listen and to be in tune with the Lord. Now, Abraham did not ask him to do this or test him in this particular way until he was mature spiritually to do so. It's a process of growth, and the Lord does that. The Lord is not going to ask us to do anything that's beyond our capacity or our ability to do. He's not going to try us beyond our capacity. And so Abraham was ready for this test. And so he asked him to offer Isaac on a mountain that he would tell him of. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted," and we need to put in there "with evil," because this is what this is talking about in context of this verse. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man to do evil." So the testing here is not that God does not test us, because He is going to do that. But He is not going to tempt us or test us to do something evil or wrong. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." Our temptations to do evil is based upon our own lower nature, our sin nature. And we still have it. And we can give into it. And we just need to know that it's not coming from God. Hezekiah was tempted. He was a king that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But there came a time in the life of Hezekiah that God left him. It's not that God abandoned him. It just simply means that God pulled back far enough so that there would be no direct interference between God and Hezekiah. And what happened was that Hezekiah showed all that he had to the ambassadors to Babylon. And the Lord leaned on him because of his pride. Hezekiah built great armies and defense mechanisms for protecting the cities. And he built walls and cities and things to defend the nation of Israel. And his pride said, "Hey, you fellows from Babylon, come on down here. I got some stuff I want to show you. I got a few aces up my sleeve." And he hadn't seen them. Well, obviously the nation of Babylon came and took everything that Hezekiah showed them back over to their house. Said, "We've seen your aces and we got some better ones." So, anyway, God does pull back sometimes and cuts us some slack to see what we're going to do. How are you going to behave in this situation? A friend may come and say, "Look, we're going to go here and there. And there's places where you haven't been going and you don't feel comfortable in going. What are you going to do? What's going to happen?" Well, the Lord's not going to break your leg. He's going to allow you to make a choice. And so we just need to realize that. James tells us in verse 12, chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that endureth testings." He endures. He doesn't quit. "For when he is tried," or the word there means when he is approved, "he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Our love for him will help us in our testing. And how do we know that we love him? Because we keep his commandments. And so we need to endure testing, knowing that if we are approved, And the way we are approved is passing the test. Abraham passed the test. He did what God would have him to do. Now the value of our faith tested is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, O now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or testings. Let me just tell you this. The word heaviness means it's not fun. Tests are not fun. I think everyone in here has had to take a test to find out what you know or what you don't know, because tests really find out what you don't know. And this is a bad thing that the teacher has to give you a grade. But the point is this. Tests put fear in your heart, because we don't like to fail. But we are in heaviness through different testings, many testings, different kinds. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When do you get your grades? At the judgment seat of Christ. You don't get the grades now. And because all of us, I miss a few questions. We all miss a few questions. We don't all take a test and get 100%. But anyway, the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith is more valuable than gold. And people today are attracted by gold, money, wealth, power. I was looking at the sign on the one of the roads here on University Avenue. It had to do with a lottery. And you know, they didn't have 50 cents up there on that plaque, on the billboard. Lottery value, 50 cents. No, it wasn't that. 50 million. You know, attraction, money. Let me tell you, more valuable than money is the testings of the Lord that will bring praise and honor and glory to yourself and to God at the judgment seat of Christ. Psalms 19 gives us this insight as well. The fear of the Lord is clean. This is in Psalms 19, verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments are planned tests. Decisions that God has made for you and for me. And these tests, these judgments are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It's better to have to live under the decisions that God has made for us than to have all the gold there is. Tests. In Genesis 22 and verse 2 it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham has learned to trust the promises of God, because Abraham does what God asks him to do. In Hebrews 11:17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The promises, you know, Abraham knew the promises of God from Genesis 15, but he wasn't trusting them, because we know what happened in Genesis 16. He says, we're going to do an end run around the Lord's plans. We'll have a child through Hagar. That's not trusting the Lord's plan. But Abraham is beginning to trust the Lord's plan. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, and this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And in chapter 8 and verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What was going on in the life of Abraham was he was seeing what was going to happen in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ would come and would be sacrificed here on the earth. Abraham rejoiced in that. And Abraham had learned to trust the promises of God. In Genesis 22 and verse 3, it says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice who carried the cross. Wasn't Abraham carrying that wood, was it? It was Isaac that was carrying that wood, just like the Lord was bearing the cross until someone came and helped him to bear it. We know that. But the point is this. Abraham had fast obedience. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Where did Abraham learn that? Well, we know that Abraham rose up early in the morning when he sent Ishmael and Hagar away, didn't he? He got up early in the morning and sent them out with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. Who was the first one in the Bible that got up early in the morning? Abimelech. Remember when the Lord told Abimelech in a dream, He says, you're a dead man. You better turn that man's wife loose. And you know what caused Abimelech to get up early in the morning? The fear of the Lord. Abimelech was afraid. What caused Abraham to get up early in the morning? The fear of the Lord. Abraham had to learn the fear of the Lord. Every one of God's children has to learn the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will cause us to obey swiftly. Obedience. Rise early in the morning. Abraham rose early in the morning. And then in Genesis 22 and verse 4 it says, Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. What does the third day speak about? Third day is the day of resurrection. 3 days, day of resurrection. Jesus Christ was raised on the third day. Abraham saw my day. We read that already in John 8:56. That day is the day of resurrection and a glad day. In Luke 9:22 it says, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and raised the third day. In John 2:1 it says, And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. What's going to happen on the third day? There's going to be a marriage in the millennium with the bride. But anyway, it was 3 days and he saw the place that God had told him. And they went together. A lot of people preach and teach that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that God took a break. He went for coffee. That he abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Let me tell you, God didn't do that. Just like Isaac, when he went to Mount Moriah with the wood, who was with him? Abraham. Abraham is a picture of God. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You know, this is repeated twice where it says they went both of them together. In verse 8 it says the same thing. Abraham, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You know what he was doing? He was drawing the attention of those around the cross and those who would read this book after it was written to the 22nd Psalm. You know what the 22nd Psalm is? The 22nd Psalm is the Messiah that Israel rejected's crucifixion. You just read the 22nd Psalm and you will see that he was looking at his own bones. His joints were all pulled out. None of his legs were broken. In Psalms 22 and verse 16, "For the dogs have compassed me." Who are the dogs that compassed Jesus? The Roman soldiers. Who are the Roman soldiers? The Gentile dogs. "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures." Who did that? The dogs. The Roman soldiers. But you know what the psalmist said in verse 22 and verse 19? But be thou not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. And then in verse 24 it says, "For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard him." Jesus wasn't alone there. The Father went with him. He didn't turn his face away from the Lord because he couldn't bear to look upon your sin and my sin. That's all been added by preachers preaching without reference. But anyway, what he is saying is, listen, I want you to read Psalm 22. This is me. This is the Messiah. This was planned. This was purposed all the way back in the days of David. And then the question is, where is the Lamb? In verse 7 and 8 of Genesis 22, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Well, we know that Jesus Christ was known as the Lamb of God. The question is, where is the lamb in Genesis chapter 22? And it wasn't answered until the first chapter of John. When John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Sometimes the Lord takes His time in sharing the answer. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. The answer is coming. And so we find the Lamb of God revealed in the days of John's ministry, John the Baptist. Then we find the Lamb was slain. Genesis 22, 9 through 12. "And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Abraham had the fear of God, and he was obedient to God because of this. By the way, this was not a 6 or 7 year old kid. This was a man. And, you know, I guess it's a struggle to understand why Abraham had to bind him. He bound his hands. He tied him up and put him on the altar. You know, it helps me to appreciate what Jesus Christ went through in the garden when he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And if it be possible to remove this cup from me, do it." And yet, what did he say? "Not my will, but thine be done." It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. It wasn't a piece of cake. That's the reason why it says it took the grace of God. Christ had to use the grace of God to taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. So we find Abraham not literally sacrificing his son, But God knew that the fear of the Lord was there and that he would do whatever God asked him to do. I put this in here, but we've looked at this before. This is where Abraham was justified. Abraham believed God in Genesis 15, but he was justified in Genesis 22. In James 2, 21 through 23, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." When did that take place? When he offered Isaac on the altar. I praise the Lord that there was a substitute. Did you know that there's a substitute for you and for me? And I praise the Lord for that. You know who the substitute is? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We need to be on the altar and suffer for our sins. Fire. Death and fire. The lake of fire. For the ages unto the ages. But you know, because of the substitute of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have life. We can be spared. And Isaac was spared. And that's what the substitute, means. Now, I want to skip down to Genesis chapter 22 and verses 18 and 19. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." What happened to Isaac? Isaac didn't come back with Abraham, did he? It says that Abraham came down to his two men, and they went back home. Well, I think that's significant for this reason. Where did all of this take place? In a mountain. Mountains speak of heavenly things. Where is Jesus Christ today? He is in the heavenlies. Where did he go when he rose from the dead on the third day? He went to heaven. He went to his Father. And what is Jesus Christ doing today for you and for me? He is interceding on our behalf. That's where Isaac was left, in the heavenlies. It's where our Savior is today, in the heavenlies. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Just like Isaac was touched with the feelings of his infirmities, he too can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Abraham saw his day and the blessings of that day, and we need to rejoice in the fact that we can see that as we study Abraham's day from his perspective. We can see the blessings that God had planned for us and for all of mankind. May the Lord help us to know that God is interested in our well-being, and He has made provision not only for our salvation, but for the way we live day by day. We can trust Him. We need to learn from Abraham. We need obedience. Fast obedience. Not delayed obedience. Father, we just thank You so much for the beautiful word pictures that we saw this morning as we opened Your Word. We saw how Israel, under the law, was set aside temporarily. And how that through Abraham and Isaac we saw the plan of salvation unfold for us. And we thank You, Lord, that You have made provisions not only for our salvation, but for a life of victory, because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Bless the message to each of our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's take our hymn books and let's stand and sing the first and last stanza of Amazing Grace, number 236. Number 236.